As she took one furious step forward, he turned and ran for his life past us, his hands over his ears, and we heard his feet clatter on the stairs. Lola stamped her foot and shouted after him, "Damned papist hypocrite!" And at this the sycophantic crowd in the antechamber broke out in a chorus of sympathy and reproach. "Jesuit impertinence! Intolerable affront! Scandalous insolence! Silly old bastard!" This was Starnberg's contribution. "Impossible arrogance of these prelates," says a stout, florid man near me. "I'm Church of England myself," says I. This had the effect of turning attention on me. Lola saw me for the first time, and the anger died out of her eyes. She surveyed me a moment, and then slowly she smiled.
"Harry Flashman," says she, and held out a hand towards me,
but as a monarch does, palm down and pointing to the ground between us. I took my cue, stepping forward and taking her fingers to kiss. If she wanted to play good Queen Bess, who was I to object? She held my hand for a moment afterwards, looking up at me with her glowing smile.
"I believe you're even handsomer than you were," says she.
"I would say the same to you, Rosanna," says I, cavalier as be damned, "but handsome is too poor a word for it." Mind you, it was true enough. I've said she was the most beautiful girl I ever met, and she was still all of that. If anything, her figure was more gorgeous than I remembered, and since she was clad in a loose gown of red silk, with apparently nothing beneath it, I could study the subject without difficulty. The effect of her at close quarters was dazzling. The magnificent blue eyes, the perfect mouth and teeth, the white throat and shoulders, and the lustrous black hair coiled up on her head. Yes, she was worth her place in Ludwig's gallery. But if she'd ripened wonderfully in the few years since I'd last seen her, she'd changed, too. There was a composure, a stateliness that was new. You would always have caught your breath at her beauty, but now you would feel a little awe, as well as lust. I was leering fondly down at her when Starnberg chimes in.
"Rosanna," says he, "what's this, Lola, a pet name?"
"Don't be jealous, Rudy," says she. "Captain Flashman is an old, very dear friend. He knew me long before all this."
And she gestured about her.
"He befriended me when I was a poor little nobody in London."
And she took my arm in both of hers, reached up and kissed me, smiling with her old mischief. Well, if that was how she chose to remember our old acquaintance, so much the better.
"Listen, all of you," she called out,
and you could have heard a pin drop.
"The Rittmeister Flashman is not only the closest to my heart of all me English friends, and those, you remember, include the noblest in the land, but the bravest soldier in the British army. You see his decorations?"
She leaned across me to touch me medals, and the presence of two almost naked, beautifully rounded breasts just beneath my face was delightfully diverting. Lola was always vain of her bosom and wore it all but outside her gown. I wished I'd had a pinch of snuff to offer her.
"Whoever saw a young captain with 5 medals?"
she continued, and there was a chorus of murmured admiration.
"So you see, he is to be honoured for more reasons than that he is my guest. There is no soldier in Germany with a higher reputation as a Christian champion."